What's going on?
Greetings.
Ooh, someone's got some intensity tonight. I like that.
We are on the same podcast. The internet's are going to burn down.
Oh my god. I'm very happy my first print product is shown up on Amazon.com.
And no, congratulations.
Oh, congratulations.
Cool. Thank you so much.
That's a good deal.
Oh, well, hello to everybody else, by the way. Thank you for having me come on.
Oh, thank you for coming on.
It is the good to meet your disembodied voice, Matt James.
Oh, does it sound all jacked up?
No, you're cool.
You sound great. It's not past your bedtime, is it?
It's way past my bedtime, but I'm high on life right now.
All right. The whole book thing's just got you amped, huh?
Well, that, and I'm doing a whole series of articles for EN World, which is a ton of fun.
Nice.
Sweet. Good game.
Yeah, I'm a busy dude right now. I have no complaints.
Yeah. How was your PAX experience? I didn't run into you all that much. Okay, that sounds good. Whoa.
Yeah, it must be on my end. I think you were talking about PAX, but yeah, PAX was epic, and they just released the videos of the Acquisition Incorporated game, and you can definitely hear the voice of one sarcastic laughing guy, which is one Matt James.
So your celebrity is just increasing all over the place then.
Man, I told everybody that you don't want to give me the proverbial microphone and let me do really cool, awesome things because I will go bat crap crazy with it.
So what book is it that's on Amazon right now that you're stoked about?
Oh, well, I'm so glad that you asked. And
well, of course I would.
That's excellent. It's called Monster Vault, Threats to the Nentir Vale. A box set coming to you by Wizards of the Coast, June 2011. Nah, it's going to be a big box set that's got like a big booklet with new monsters, reflavoring some old monsters that people haven't seen in many years. And it's also going to include like the punch-out tokens in case you want to use those, as well as four brand new usable maps. That's going to be awesome. I got to design one of them, and it's going to be awesome.
Sweet. Nice. Sounds like a good product. That's an Essentials product, right?
That's the what?
Is that an Essentials product?
Monster Vault? No. Monster Vault is just a box set and a new way of going about presenting monsters, kind of like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be great, and it's going to make you stronger, faster, and smarter if you buy it.
Really? Will it cure male pattern baldness also?
Dude, not only will it do that, it'll help you get like hot chicks. Unless you're like a girl, then it's going to get you like some Baywatch dudes.
Awesome.
Yeah, Tracy, as soon as you buy it, I mean, it's like, girl, you're going to have to like beat them off with a bat. Now, if you buy that in addition to Soldiers of Fortune, which is being brought to you by Open Design, Wolfgang Bauer and the guys at Cobalt Quarterly, if you do both of those products, then like the world will implode upon itself into a mountain of joy.
Sweet.
It might very well cure world hunger, actually.
That sounds like it might actually be a good time.
Cool.
It is a good time. It's actually going to stem all the effects of 2012.
So what type of content's in your...
You guys weren't ready for me.
Oh, no. We have nothing for that. A couple of us are running on empty tonight. So
you guys are about to hear some dogs on the podcast. These are my two evil chihuahuas, Sammy and Peanut.
Aww.
Chihuahuas?
Let me tell them quiet. Come here. I meant dragons.
Dragons? Really? Sweet.
Yes, I have two 4-pound dragons.
And Peanut was the one in that photo, right?
Yes, the one that
the
infamous photo that I didn't know like would just like get all the girls
became
crazy.
A viral meme.
I think it's a horrible picture.
Well, that's gonna be the cover picture on your memoirs, right?
I don't have a choice now.
Yeah. No, I said it had to be in Soldiers of Fortune.
Ooh,
back cover photograph.
Now I'm definitely buying Soldiers of Fortune. I mean, before I was kind of on the fence about it, but now I'm sold.
Yeah, totally.
Excellent.
So do you have any other projects coming up that you can talk about, or is anything you're working on that's not hush-hush?
Well, the EN World article series, it started out with just a generic article on pirates, and you know, it was kind of funny when Morris contacted me to do it. I was like half jokingly, was like, "Wow, write about pirates!" And then I was like, "You know what? That'd be a great idea." So it turned out to be pretty popular. So we're going to follow it up with a couple more articles in the series, and I think he might turn it into like some kind of small, you know, booklet or something. But yeah, it'll be great. And then you know, down the road from there, I think, you know, if my articles continue to be popular, I'll probably, you know, write about other things. And you know, I can't do it without people reading them and giving feedback, so I really appreciate those of you who have gone out and taken a look.
You're writing a novel too, right?
Man, you must like follow me on Twitter or something.
Actually, she's in a van outside your house right now, so
exactly, I'm looking out my window right now, I'm like, where is she? Wow, that's awesome. I made a very vague reference to that and you picked up on it. Yeah, I'm trying to finish a manuscript, and then I will whore myself out and try to find a publisher to turn it into a nice little book. So yeah, absolutely. I can't wait.
Can't wait to read it.
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be, you know, all about making you stronger, faster, and taller.
I could use being taller.
You are kind of short. For the listeners out there who don't know, like, you'll run her over if you don't look down.
Uh-huh. You're taking a page out of Chris Sims' book there, but I can still take you, so.
Oh, I have no doubts.
She does have fighting words.
Yeah. Yeah, that is true. So besides the Dungeons issue, because I think we got into that a little bit last week, which actually the internet may have eaten that portion of the podcast.
Yeah.
Any hot topics you guys want to talk about this week? Okay.
Tracy, you were talking about... No, hold on. Tracy, so you were talking about writing a post, and I don't know if you've written it yet or not, but you were talking about how your... how you connect with certain character classes and what your references are for those classes. Are you still planning on writing a post like that?
I mean, I'd like to. I just haven't had time to think them all through yet. But I think sometimes there is a problem in that people who've played for a long time see classes a certain way that somebody like me maybe doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I know we were talking about that with the Paladins.
Go ahead.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I was only going to say that, yeah, I mean, I was thinking about, was inspiring to me to think of, and I think several people, it wouldn't be a bad, you know, type of thing to see what their influences are, or not influences, really the right word, what the image in their head is, or where they came to understand what a paladin is, or a cleric is, or any of those kinds of things. Any of those fantasy archetypes. And I just thought it was an interesting topic, and I didn't want to steal your thunder unless I know you'd already written it or not. So.
Oh, no, I haven't written it already. One thing that did come out of the Dungeons discussion, which is partly where this came from as well, was just the vast different backgrounds people have coming into D&D and how that influences how they interpret the rules and what makes sense to them. Looks like we lost... Matt, but I don't know. What do you think of when you think of paladins, Randall?
When I think of paladins, I think of Sir Galahad, Lancelot. Not all of the knights, not all of them were as virtuous as they should be or should have been. Charlemagne, those are the people I think of as paladins. If you're asking me for a
female version of the Paladin, I would think of Joan of Arc. I'm just trying to think if there seems to me there was one other one. Now, those are granted, those are very much rooted in Christian ethos, but all of those types are, or all those folks are, but still, I'm just not well versed enough in other cultures to be able to tell you if there are versions of that type of religious heroism, if you will, in other cultures. And I'm sure there is. I'm just ignorant of those. So, it would be interesting to see people from different cultures give the answer to that.
Now, see, when I think about a paladin, I guess I was at one point a little bit of a history buff when it comes to the church. My first degree, my first bachelor degree that I got was in theology. And mm-hmm. I think of like the Knights Templar, who
right.
were both wholly, you know, bent. They were working for the church, but at the same time, they were also very secretive. And they had their own rites that they did, and they were also very greedy towards the end. I mean, they were the most wealthy organization in the Roman Church when they were disbanded, you know. And it took both the French king and the Pope to basically get together and take them down all at once on Friday the 13th, which is where Friday the 13th comes from, to take them out. And so when I see paladins, I see people who have a lot of fervor for the church, but at the same time aren't exactly always that Galahad stereotype. You know, I don't think of the I must always do good. I see the guys who are very military-minded and very military-bent and still have the church's interest in mind, but at the same time aren't always don't always have a problem with also maybe filling their pockets with a little bit of loot. So, I don't always think of that paladin who's like, oh, I won't take this money because, you know, it's blood money, or we won't attack these guys because it wouldn't be right. I don't see that when I think of a paladin.
Okay.
How about you, Matt?
Yeah, I kind of see them as a Knights Templar kind of. The paladin. I mean, they're a difficult animal to tackle. There's the traditionalist in me that wants them to be like the knight in shining armor type paladin, defender of their god. I kind of like how there's more of a dynamic now, and you can take it and mold it to your own needs. But at the end of the day, I think especially you have to work with your player who's playing the paladin to make sure that they're going to have fun and that their vision matches maybe what you're thinking. That way there's no kind of conflict without it, a foundation being laid.
I think that's good.
Are there other classes that have these kind of tropes or traditions that go along with them? Or is it really just, I mean, I'm trying to think of some that are supposed to have, I guess, so much history and or.
Well, there's the rogues and them all being thieves that are going to steal your stuff and stab you in the back.
Yeah, I think. Some of the core, like, boiled down classes, like the fighter, cleric, wizard, especially, and like you said, the paladin, all kind of, people kind of like to force them into these little boxes.
Well, what are some of the tropes for, like, say, the wizard? Because I don't know him all that well.
Well, if you think Merlin, I mean, off the top of your head, you
right.
know, any of the old, you know, people like Nostradamus, you know. Those kinds of, historical sage-like people that,
Gandalf?
Gandalf, sure, absolutely.
Okay, so kind of the long robe-wearing, long gray beard kind of...
Right.
Okay.
And the part of the thing, though, is those wizards don't necessarily make sense when you look at older editions of D&D and how they dealt with the daily spells. Because I know a lot of people tell me that it's just that they forget the spells after they cast them.
Well, and keep in mind, those original, I mean, based that a lot, you know, Gygax, mm-hmm. looked at, towards Vancey and magic, the books from Vance to really push that. And that, I think that, and that's just like one author. So I think there's a far longer and a more historical, version of the wizard, which is more accurate to, you know, the versions we play now are in fourth edition. So, you know, I think, you know, we've come back to a more, it's a more traditional view of what magic is like, as opposed to this, you know, fire and forget type of stuff. And then you got to relearn it all over again. So,
yeah, the way that I see it and the way that I describe it to my players is that, like, for instance, you use the daily power as an example. It's not so much that they've learned a spell and then that they forget it. I kind of present it more that it's such a complex spell, and getting the components just right and the exact incantation to be able to use it within that short period of time takes, you know, you constantly have to go back to your spell book and kind of relook at it and, you know, ensure that you're getting everything right. So that's how I kind of describe to my players why, say, at the beginning of each day, they have to study their spell book. Yeah, that's a little tangent. I apologize.
Well, no, it's just, it's hard sometimes if you think of Gandalf as your wizard to try to reconcile the two. Because I don't really see Gandalf as going back to his book and trying to read it.
No, I think one of the a great example of a wizard just starting out is if you watch the movie Dragon Slayer.
Oh, it's, man, that is an old movie.
It's an old movie, but it still holds its own even nowadays. And the young apprentice who sees his, you know, the older wizard die, you know, he has to practice over and over, and he's got one or two spells, but he doesn't know a whole heck of a lot of things to do, but and he's got the books and everything, but his main thing is that he's, you know, he's got to practice all the time. And it's just a very good example to look to for a wizard starting out, if you will, because, you know, the people like Gandalf and stuff like that are, you know, they're ultra powerful. They're almost like gods, you know, and so they're not really a great, they're epic wizards, sure, but they're not, you know, they're certainly not just starting out. And if you take away all the trappings of the school and think of just the mechanics of the world, then the Harry Potter stuff is also similar to that. I mean, it's a good example of what you can use as an example of how wizards start out, you know. And so,
I'd like it if you could keep Harry Potter out of my D&D, please.
Well, look, I understand. That's why I said take all the trappings out, because, you know.
Hey.
But
I like Harry
Potter.
I thought I would. I thought I would ruffle Matt's feathers more than I'd ruffle Tracy's feathers. That one.
I'm just laughing because I knew you would catch a chord with Tracy.
Yeah, well, I had a whole discussion about Harry Potter on Twitter, but I could tell Thaddeus doesn't follow me anymore.
Harry Potter.
No, thanks.
Awesome. Well, it's okay. I have imagination with small rocks, so it all works out.
Oh, don't sell yourself short. It's at least a pebble.
If that was the case, yeah.
See, my problem is that small rocks actually have quite a big imagination.
Okay.
At least you have small rocks. I ain't got nothing upstairs. No, I mean.
Wait, I want to hear this theory on small rocks and imagination.
I don't know. Somebody, the people that called me out on the Vantian Magic thing said that I must have an imagination with small rocks, so.
Oh, wow. That's mean.
Yeah.
Loggers
awesome.
Are like small rocks.
They float.
They float. And what else floats?
Churches.
Very small rocks.
A duck.
A duck.
Okay, so we have broken down to quoting Monty Python now. That's never actually happened before on this show. So
on the round table, that's right. That's a first. Well done.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you get
Matt James.
Yeah, you get Matt James, and you see what you get. So here's my question: Did anyone catch the errata that came out this week? Or maybe even today?
Yeah, I did.
No, I've got the link, but I haven't gotten out to it yet.
Was there any errata for the compendium? Because that's my biggest fear right now.
A couple of little minor changes. It wasn't really a big, crazy update like in the past.
Right, but specifically what I'm asking is, were there any rules updates to the new Essentials compendium book?
I don't think
those updates are out yet.
Okay. I just I less than a month after getting it, I don't want it to already be getting updated. So I was hoping it would at least last through the first set of updates.
It would be a little disappointing.
Yeah, no, the only controversy I really heard was that some of the powers were like, well, revert this back to the original rating and then make this change. And I think that ruffled a few people's feathers.
Well,
yeah, but
what I've learned with game design, especially in the era of, you know, mass media, is that there's always the most vocal people are going to be either the dissenters. I mean, the guy, the random player that's just kind of happy and satisfied with the product and to see these kind of updates isn't going to run and jump on Twitter to say anything.
Right.
So, I mean, I hope people kind of take that into consideration when they see these kinds of things. And also, a second point, if I can, real quick. Some people were kind of, I mean, they weren't jumping on Greg Bilsland or some of the WotC employees, but those guys have no control whatsoever over the digital products. And they're on a second, you know, they're on a separate floor. So keep that in mind, too. And know that they, you know, that they can actually put it up on the site.
And if you keep going after them, then they're not going to be on Twitter as much.
Yeah, let's not drive.
I love Greg, so please stop.
Let's not drive them away.
Greg is awesome, guys. He's one of the hardest working people up there, and I have a lot of respect for him, especially after getting to go out there and the last couple visits I went to the WotC headquarters. And you know, he's on point. He's a sharp guy.
And his blog is great, and I love the fact that he talks about why he does certain things and the fact that he ignores rules he doesn't like in his game too.
Tracy likes you.
Almost anybody, so but yeah, Greg. I met Greg at PAX East, so and I probably would.
I think Greg's dreamy.
I love you.
Oh, finally, I'm not the only person who's imitating Tracy's voice. I love that.
He's dreamy.
Poor Tracy. Poor Tracy.
Would you do me a favor and call him Greg McDreamy?
No.
Ooh. Oh, come on.
Oh.
It's for the internet.
That would actually be pretty awesome.
Yeah, and
we'll,
that'd be
it'll
following.
Become viral. Greg McDreamy.
Oh, jeez. Fine. Greg McDreamy.
All right.
All right.
There you go.
Make sure you edit that
again,
out. So that can,
again,
can,
with feeling.
With feeling.
There was like, feeling in that one.
Not that poor kind of feeling. We want the other kind, the emotional feeling.
Poor Fred's probably in the room like, what is going on over there?
Yeah.
My Chihuahua Sammy is looking at me with like a tilted head right now.
So, getting a little bit away from D&D,
is that a person?
I didn't catch any of that. Thankfully. So.
Yeah.
Is there any good games out right now besides Fiasco that anyone should be looking at? Because I'm kind of getting in the mood to go try something new these days.
Dude, Apples to Apples. I know it's an older
game.
We've
got that one. We've got the Wood Collector's Box Edition.
Ravenloft. It's actually a really fun game.
Got it. Got my girlfriend turned on to it. She's actually come home from work on occasion and asked to play that. So that game
list.
Is... Bowl of Wind, right there.
Fourth edition Talisman.
Ooh, okay, what's that?
Not
Do
fourth
tell.
Edition like D&D, it's just the fourth iteration of the original Games Workshop game.
Oh, wow. I've played Talisman since college.
Awesome. I bought it at Gen Con. They've updated a couple things, but the game is, for the most part, untouched, and it's
nice.
Okay, break it down for me, because I've never played it.
It's okay, well, here's the most important part about Talisman that people need to understand. Because the game has a tendency to last forever if you don't explain this. Talisman is all about domination. It is a PvP game. And
yep,
it's like
it
an old school board game. And you go around a board and you collect items and spells and other things. And the whole point, everyone thinks it's to get to the center so that you have, like, you know, the ultimate power to kill everybody. But that's just, you know, if you can get up there, that's great. But otherwise, you're there to take other players out, period. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun.
It's like Sorry and D&D had a bastard child.
Yes, it's like D&D got really drunk one night and like slept with some Barbie dolls and I don't know where I don't know where I was going with that, but
that sounds like it needs to be on the box right there. The bastard child of has anyone played Last Night on Earth? Because that kind of looks like Ravenloft, but all zombies.
Not a fan of zombies, but I haven't played it, so.
Not a fan of zombies.
Zombies. That's why I am prepared for the zombie apocalypse. And
that's right.
I have like extra generator in my house and plenty of firearms.
Shotgun. That's right. Machete.
You're only really prepared if you have the diver's chainmail hanging in the closet. That will save your life. Oh, I'm going to have to beep that, aren't I? Damn it. All right.
Oh, am I not allowed to say that?
No, I just went off and cussed.
Oh,
This one's clean. This is our clean podcast.
Oh, so. I normally get edited out anyways because I don't realize when I say curse words.
Yeah.
So I apologize in advance.
So, okay. So Talisman, anything else I should be looking to? I mean, let me give you my background, right? So role-playing game-wise, like I only started playing Dungeons & Dragons like 2 years ago now. I keep saying a year ago, but eventually you have to say 2 years or three. But okay, so I've been playing that for 2 years. I picked up Dresden Files a little while ago, and I've played that a couple times, and I really love it. I just wish I could find a more consistent group for it. I love Munchkin. Munchkin's awesome. I love...
awesome.
Yeah, Munchkin is insane. I am having a great time with the Ravenloft board game. And that's pretty much it, I mean, for me. And, oh, I learned how to play Magic the Gathering just today at lunch. So what else should I be looking for here? What should I go pick up? If I had a couple extra $60 to spend, where should that go?
Well, I can write something on a piece of paper. You can send me that $60.
Yeah.
Settlers is pretty good.
Catan? Okay. Yeah, I played that. I didn't list that. I just didn't think about it. I've played that one. I think I should actually pick that up just to have it.
Pandemic?
Never played it.
I haven't. What's either, it? What's and I've it about? Seen it, but the board looks great.
So what is Pandemic?
Basically, I don't know how to explain it, but illness is spreading and you have to stop it, and you have to find the cures before there's too many epidemics.
So is it like Talisman PvP style, or is it more like Ravenloft where you're trying to work together? Or Monopoly, where you're just out for yourself?
You're working together. I don't know. I don't play that many games, so it's been D&D and then Pandemic, and that's pretty much it since Monopoly days. So,
okay,
dude, you need to check out Dominion.
Oh, I heard good things about
Dominion. You are not a cool kid until you play Dominion.
I thought I was a cool kid.
Dave Chalker over at criticalhits.com turned me on to it this year at Syndicon, which is a gaming convention that my buddies run here in the DC area, and it's very addictive. So addictive that I ended up buying it, and me and my wife play. So it's an awesome game.
See, I've seen that in the game store, but there's like 15 versions of it there when I get there, and I can't figure out.
Just get, there's like a starter set or like a first set or whatever, and it's got like blue writing on it. Just pick that up. And yeah, dude, it's I can't talk it up enough. It's just a tremendous amount of fun and pretty simple to play once you understand how to play.
Now, is it a card or a board game?
It is a card game, but it's a card slash board game-ish. Strategy, okay. Weirdo.
Well, someone else had explained it to me a little bit. Like, they said it was kind of like Settlers of Catan, but more like very resource management oriented.
Oh, absolutely. You're like playing a monarch, and you have to kind of rule this small kingdom, and you have these resources, so it's very resource management kind of heavy. Very strategic, and yeah, it's just a ton of fun.
Anybody ever play Dark Tower?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, of course.
I had one of those
old game from way back in the day.
Those were awesome. So
for some reason, that game just popped into my head, and I'm just thinking, oh, man, if I could play Dark Tower tonight, I so would. No, I'm trying to figure out, with Christmas coming up, and, you know, I'm really starting to want to branch out into more games and check some more stuff out. I'm just trying to build a list of stuff I want to get and trying to figure out games that I could get that I might be able to turn, you know, my girlfriend on to and some other friends. I want to start doing like a regular game night and just having a bunch of people over who maybe aren't so hot to role-playing games and maybe see if I can't get them turned on to at least board games and Ravenloft and stuff like that. So
that's what I'm hoping to do with Ravenloft. I think there's enough similarity that if I can get them to play Ravenloft, I could start swinging people into playing D&D.
No, absolutely.
I think it's going to be a huge gateway drug, really.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a ton of fun. Actually, it's so much fun that every once in a while on my Friday night Dark Sun game, if a player doesn't show up on time, we'll conveniently talk ourselves into playing a Ravenloft game.
No, there's a second game coming out soon, isn't there? Like, they're doing another board game before the end of the year, right?
I know Gamma World's coming out, but that's not really a board game.
Oh, okay, so it's just Gamma World? I thought they had, like, a second board game.
Gamma World is, you want to talk about an addictive game, that game is amazing. And I come from old school Gamma World days, and
Gallus 513!
Yes! You know way too
that's,
much.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's way over my head.
No, but it's a futuristic, you know, kind of game. If you understand the 4th edition D&D game system, you will walk right into Gamma World with no issues. Character creation takes like 5 minutes because it's all random generation.
Yeah.
Rich Baker, one of the lead designers on it, ran it for me and a couple of freelancers back at DDXP. And I'm telling you, man, it's just too much fun. Like, there's like for instance, my character ended up with a anti-gravity gun, which for those who know about 4th edition,
nice.
Basically it had like a range of 10. And then the designated square, close burst 4 or something, close burst 3 or 4 or whatever, all creatures in the target and in the zone were slowed. And if they didn't try to move, they slid one square closer towards that center. So it was like gravity was sucking them in. It was awesome.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Anyways, yeah, that's just one example, but there's a ton of other things.
Yeah, I remember old school Gamma World quite well. And it was, Thad, just to tell you about, I got to tell you about the Gallus 513 reference. There was a module where you were investigating this old facility or whatever, and it used to be a chicken processing plant. And there was a giant mutant chicken on the facility. And the species, Gallus is the species and genus for domestic chicken. And so it was Gallus 513, and it was a monster in the module, and it was so awesome.
Yeah.
So anyway.
No, it's I can't wait for it, and I think it'll be a ton of fun.
So that comes out in November?
I thought it came out this month, but it could be next month. I don't know.
That'd be so sweet if it came out this month.
I couldn't remember.
I know a lot of stuff is coming out this month. I don't know. I could have sworn it was this month.
We're all sitting here on computers, but none of us are willing to look anything up. I'm actually going to go look it up right now. So you guys talk amongst yourselves, and I'm going
to
get some
information. It's ironic. I'm on a computer talking to you guys, and I'm looking up the old, it's not even that old, but in the RPG world it is, Alternity. If you guys ever played that in the late 90s, TSR put it out, Rich Baker. That's a really fun RPG. And yeah, it's science fiction kind of role-playing game. It's awesome.
Alternity. Now, in the 90s, I was playing Heroes Unlimited and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, man, don't get me singing these things.
It looks like the 19th. It looks like it's out on the 19th.
Turtles in a half shell. Turtle power.
Dude, it was a kick-ass Eastman and Laird.
World's most fearsome fighting team. All
right, so I'm going to mute
wow.
Matt now. And no,
turtles in a half shell, and they're green. Okay, I'll stop.
And we just pretty much lost our last listener right there.
No, nobody would stop listening to Matt. Matt is awesome.
Tracy, you've never said anything bad about me. I want you to say something bad. Come on.
Dungeons suck.
Dungeons.
Not about. That's not about him. That's just something bad.
They just. I don't know what to say bad about him, though. I don't like seeing.
Listen, Tracy, you've met him in person. I've met him in person, and I know there's plenty to say bad about him.
Whoa, so I know whoa, he, I... whoa, thanks. Whoa, thought we were on ombre.
Well, is there like a personal hygiene problem or something? Or
no, actually, I smell quite refreshing.
Yeah, he kind of smells like roses.
I just
it's
think
true.
He liked me.
Even,
right.
even when I awesome. Fart, even when I fart, they smell great.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I've actually went and got some information here. I got off my lazy butt and decided to look stuff up. So, Wrath of Ashardalon.
Ashardalon.
Man, who writes these
wow,
names?
You
okay, Ashardalon.
Could not have pronounced that worse.
Well, I am dyslexic. You know, you want to make fun of my learning disability? That's great. That's
oh, great.
That's what sucks about
great.
Matt James.
Oh,
he's heartless. He is
Ashardalon doesn't sound real good. So,
could you please back that bus up and take the tire off my head? You ran me over.
Yeah. No. Okay. So Ashardalon. It comes out.
Thaddeus.
Why? He was making fun of my dyslexia. What are you talking about? Why should I apologize?
Great. Now I can see it now. Matt James makes fun of people with disabilities.
No, man. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean to infer that you
can't take
that
it
you were
now. It's already on the internet.
Yeah, I didn't mean to infer that you were a total jerk for making fun of my learning disability.
I'm just a half
because you totally did.
Quarter. like a quarter horse.
Okay, so
quarter at okay. No.
Oh god. So Wrath of Ashardalon, the board game, comes out in February. So yeah. It's not this year, but it's pretty soon. And it's supposed to be really similar to Ravenloft, where you can actually link the two games together. And if I remember right here in an interview, they said they were actually going to try to publish on their website adventures that would use both board games. So that I'm stoked about. And yes, Gamma World comes out on the 19th of this month.
Oh, man, 2 days after my birthday. I can't wait.
All right, happy birthday, Mike James. On
Yeah, I'm going to stab you right in the eye with a pencil.
Is that what you did to Mike?
No, Mike is safe. You know, I'm still going to make up a sign that says my name's Mike James and go find some random person on the street and get him to hold it up.
So what was – we were just talking about a game, but I was off.
Alternity.
Alternity. You
Which
said that
really
was Rich
liked,
Baker?
I really liked the universe. I did not like the rules play. I didn't like the way the rules were written.
Yeah, I had to adjust. I have like a lot of custom rules. Not a lot, but I had to change a couple things. I agree with you there. I have not played it, honestly, to be honest with you, in like 8 or 9 years. But I have a really good friend, Dave Phillips, that's running a game right now. And I'm very jealous because – I don't have the time to get over to his place and play it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the cover. It kind of looks like an alien-ish, almost kind of
yeah, it's
game.
Very, it's very sci-fi-ish, but you can kind of tailor it. Like I did I played in a space opera type version of it. Like for fans of Serenity and Firefly, you can definitely adapt it for that, say, that kind of world. And it's awesome.
You can also adapt it to play like an X-Files type game.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So, I mean, it has these different level. I mean, different. It's like three different games in one because you can. There's one set of rules that lets you play like an X-Files type of things, and it even describes what races you've encountered at this point in like mankind's development towards the stars or whatever. And so you could do like an X-Files game, and then a little bit later on you can do, you know... there's a space opera version, like Matt was saying, and then there was one other. Oh, like I think you could do almost like a Matrix kind of a thing.
Oh yeah,
and, yeah. Play a Matrix game because there's a whole subnet type of thing involved with it. So which I liked, but also kind of confused the game for me. And so it was like, yeah, there's all this different stuff. Am I just supposed to chunk all that if I only want to play a certain type of game? So, but anyway, that was over 10 years ago. So.
Yeah, I'm reading about it on Wikipedia right now, and it says that there's control dice and situation dice.
Yeah,
it it sounds like the die mechanic is really interesting. How did that work out?
Once, like any game, once you understand the mechanics behind it, it becomes pretty fluid. But yeah, the mid to late '90s, the end of the TSR era saw some really interesting system design rules and. Yeah.
in a nutshell.
Well, it looks, I mean, it looks really interesting. Like, it looks like something I would be willing to try out.
Oh, you should absolutely try it out. I think it'd be awesome. I bet you Chris Sims might still play it. I don't know. I can't speak for him. But anyways, yeah.
I think the race concepts in it are fantastic, and some of the background and story that they wrote for it is pretty neat, and it's pretty cool.
Well, if you're ever on the West Coast again, maybe we'll have to get together with Chris Sims and see if he won't run a game for us.
I don't know if he'll still run one, but he'll play in it. I'll run one if I can bring my book with me.
That would be awesome.
I'll be sure to kill your character immediately.
See?
gee, thanks.
That's how I roll.
Nice.
I thought we were, what happened to the hombres thing? I thought we were hombres.
Oh, you know, I kind of went down buddies. The drain. I threw me under that bus. No, I'm messing with you, man.
Thaddeus was supposed to kill your character, Matt, but he didn't.
Yeah, I kind of ignored the advice of Tracy on that one.
Yeah, it would
have
been smart because I would have annihilated. I would have destroyed you. I would have pulled out an anti-gravity gun.
With a range of 10 and a blast 5?
Something like that. I would have made it up on the spot.
That was a fun...
Oh, go ahead, Thad. Sorry.
No, you go. I was just about to reminisce about something that no one would care about, so...
I was just going to say, isn't Gamma World using the... They're like fate cards or something like that? Or some kind of...
No, there's going to be optional things, but there's ways to generate, like, replace your powers. Like, if you critically fail, like, with a natural one, you can get a different mutation. So it's all about having various mutations.
Okay, yeah. It's like a mutation card or something like that, yeah. Or you can have them and, available, yeah.
And there's a deck that comes with the game, and you can go buy more cards, but it's not like a collectible card game where, like, you have to continuously go out and buy the new cards that are coming out.
I don't know how much stock people will take because a lot of people like to think I work for the man, so whatever. Like, whatever. I'm a freelancer. I can say whatever I want. But it's not a – there's no – people still argue with me. It's like I've played it. It's not a trading card game where in the traditional sense like Magic the Gathering. Like,
right.
It's – I don't know. Frustrating. It's an awesome game. It's a lot of fun. You don't need to collect all the different cards in order, you know, it's not like the rare cards are like uber powerful and they're gonna, you know, blow away everything else. And besides, the nature of the game, your powers are changing, so your mutations are changing, so it's not like, you know, you get to hang on to your cards and constantly dominate.
Yeah, okay. I get it that the flow is more like, it's almost reminiscent of Paranoia. Than a traditional, you know, than like, for example, Dungeons and Dragons. I mean, you can invest yourself in the character if you want, but there's a lot of random crap that happens, and maybe you don't want to invest too much in your character.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So.
I have never played Paranoia.
Oh, that game is whack.
Jeez, Thaddeus, man. We need to introduce you to these games. I'm going to start you out nice and simple. I got this really awesome game called Monopoly.
Oh man, I've heard of that one. It
it's about
like...
real estate management. It's a great game. And then I'm going to introduce you to one of my favorite fantasy board games called Candyland.
No. See, Tracy and I had a conversation about trying to turn Candyland into a D&D setting once, and that.
Dude, I've got so many ideas for turning the actual board game into a role-playing game. It's not even funny. It's going to be great. I'm going to wait until I get really drunk one time, and it's going to be a total mess. But hey, at least I'll have fun until the next
one. I'll playtest that. Actually, Monopoly is why I stopped playing board games, because I was dating this guy and we were playing, and we got in this horrible fight over it, and his parents had to call the game because we were just...
Wow.
With the parents at the table, that's...
Yeah,
you know what starts a good family fight for me and like my in-laws is we play Risk, and it's like,
oh.
It's like World War III happens, because like my brother-in-law is really good at the game and I'm pretty good at the game too, and like I don't know what it is, like I get into role playing or something, and I start talking a Russian accent and crushing my enemies.
Yeah, that's what happened.
And I'll like call my sister. I'll like tell my sister, and I'm like, you are weak like Ukraine. And then like crush her, and then everyone, you know, it's just, oh, it's hilarious. But yeah, it starts big fights.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm terrible at Risk, and so I go into every game just trying to piss people off. I'll form alliances. I'll be like, okay, you know, I'll keep this border and you keep that border, and we won't attack each other, and we'll go after these two. And then like the next round, I'll full on just send my whole army into that guy's country. And he'll be like, yeah, he'll be like, we don't know. I'll be like, I know I'm not going to win this game, so I'm just going to piss everybody off. It's going to be great.
Yeah, when
I always play the Horde when I play Risk. Everything gets piled on one army, I mean, on one country, and then the Horde just moves from one place to the other. And of course, I lose the most of the countries that I have gained, but man, you're getting the cards, right? And so every turn, you're turning in another set of Risk cards, and like you're getting more armies, and the Horde just keeps going. You know,
you know what's hilarious about Risk? Like I like playing like Risk Godstorm. And funny quick story is that some people were getting really pissed off. Two players were getting really upset with 4th edition and, you know, ranting about this, that, and the other. And I wasn't in any mood to argue with people because, you know, if that's how they feel, that's how they feel. And I was like, well, okay, well, what do you want to play? And they're like, let's play something created by someone smart. Let's go get, you know, Risk Godstorm off the shelf. And it's like, you realize that was designed by, you know, Watsy and, you know, Rich Baker was one of the lead designers on Risk Godstorm. And they were like,
owned.
Snap.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't realize that. Avalon Hill is owned by Watsy, and Rich Baker was one of the main designers on that, as well as Axis and Allies.
That's a game I've never played that. My neighbor had that, and his wife always played.
Thaddeus, you've never played that? I would never have guessed that.
Yeah, thanks.
I played it in high school, guys.
This is why I'm being quiet, so I don't get made fun of for not playing anything.
Axis and Allies is so much fun, and I'm a big history buff, so I enjoy it thoroughly.
I always had an obnoxious friend that would cheat by trying to put extra chips underneath his tanks.
That's when you get out your big Japanese like officer's hat and you put it on and you start role-playing.
Oh, yeah.
Or your German Blitzkrieg helmet. Thing.
Usually rolled America and was always doing R&D every single round, man. Spending thousands and thousands. Long-range bombers.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I roleplayed in a pandemic. I even got a dwarf cleric mini out to be the cleric.
Oh, cool.
The healer.
Oh, that's a good idea.
See, now I've never played pandemic. I don't know. I don't.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, guys.
Okay.
I'm gonna have to go. I'm just gonna mute my mic and let you guys can keep talking because I'm recording.
I'm gonna have to head out here too. It's almost midnight out here.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that's a good place to call it. So,
hey guys, thank you so much for having me on. I know this was last minute, but I had a ton of fun, and maybe we can do it again sometime.
Good to meet
Definitely.
You.
Definitely. Thanks, yeah. Matt. Thanks for coming on. Good talking to you again, man.
You too, guys. Take care.
All right.